Welcome to chapel today. This is another one of our summer chapels, and I hope you're enjoying them. Our speaker today is Dr. Josh Bleeker. After serving as director of admissions in 2014, Dr. Bleeker moved to Manassas, Virginia, becoming dean of DTS Washington, D.C. And then from 2014 to 2019, Dr. Bleeker watched the grace of God work in remarkable ways to strengthen that campus and firmly establish DTS's presence in the nation's capital. Dr. Bleeker has published book reviews in Books and Culture and also Fathom Magazine, the online edition. His wife, Eva, holds 3 master's degrees and is a board-certified chaplain and teaches pastoral care and chaplaincy at Denver Seminary. The Bleekers love hiking, hosting friends for homemade meals, and marveling at the wonderful joy of their dog, Ransom Ruth. I hope you'll enjoy this today.
Well, hello. It is so good to be with you. Thank you for taking time, and a special thank you to the media production team for all they have done to make this possible, and for Dallas Seminary in general, working hard to adjust to make it possible for students and staff and faculty. And for you, our online listeners, hopefully there's some alums out there as well as some new friends. What I want to do today is offer us some images of opportunity for all of us. And the first one is my grandmother. This is my grandma Bleeker. I was visiting her in April of 2013 when I took this picture, had a friend take the picture, and she was 94 years old. So I went to visit one morning. We were having coffee and toast, her favorite breakfast, and mine as well. And when we finished, she said, "Oh, Josh, come with me. Let's sit down on the couch and let's do devotions together." And I said, "Yes, ma'am." So we sat down and she read through and talked through a devotion for that day about the Israelites grumbling in the desert, even though the Lord was providing for them and taking care of them. She turned to me and she said, "Josh, you know what? I really needed to hear this today. Sometimes even I tend to grumble instead of being grateful." And I'll tell you, I just marveled at this woman's faith and humility. Because at this point in her life, at 94 years old, she had lost her husband, had lost most of her health, and you can see from this picture here that she didn't really have much to her name. She had lost most everything. In fact, her favorite thing to do during the day, besides write letters to missionaries, and she wrote thousands of them and prayed for them, it was that she would watch the Oreos outside of her window, which was her word for the Orioles, the birds that would fly by and sit, and she would watch, and she loved that. So, how is this even possible? Well, I want to offer you another image from her life. And when she passed away, which was about 1 year after I visited her, I inherited my grandmother's Bible. Now you can see that it is old and tattered and loved and full of notes and prayers, and this is one of my treasured possessions. When I was looking through that, I found something remarkable. Here are a page of notes that she took in April of 2012, just 1 year before I visited, when she was 93 years old. So, even in her old age, she was looking to finish well by being filled up with the Word of God. And that was the secret. That's how, even though her life appeared empty, she was so full of joy because she was so full of the Word of God. Grandma, you got it right. So today, I want us to look at a psalm that is all about the Word of God. Psalm 119. There are 176 verses in this psalm, 22 stanzas, Each one begins with a successive letter of the Hebrew alphabet. It is a masterpiece. And we are going to look at all 170. No, we're not going to look at all the verses. We're going to do a distillation of the main love and description, the dynamics of God's word in this psalm to offer us an opportunity for a changed experience of our daily life. So first, let's look at the descriptions of God's word that appear in this psalm. Psalm 119, there are at least 8 terms that appear that describe God's word. The first one is law. This is the overarching guide and reality, the revelation. Testimonies are often translated witnesses. Think of this like an accountability partner. Precepts. This is a close examination of one's actions. Statutes, often translated decrees. Think of a statue that is firmly planted and standing, and it is a signpost towards righteousness. The commandments. This is the authoritative governing or governance of God. Ordinances or judgments. The sense here is of like court case rulings, a divine assessment of one's actions or on behalf of one's actions. Word. This is God's truth in all of its forms. And promise. Personalized exhortations, encouragement, and hope. Now, it's almost as if the psalmist runs out of words. In 176 verses, these 8 terms appear time and time and time again. In fact, of the 176 verses, only 6 of them do not include one of these 8 terms. And of those 6 verses, potentially 3 of them have indirect descriptions of God's word. So think about this for just 1 second. The longest chapter in the entire Bible is all about the Bible. Now, this is not biblicism. This is not word worship. The psalmist is describing his love and adoration and appreciation and saturation in God's word as the foundation on which he stands to reach up in relationship to Yahweh. The word of God is a means to that relationship. So I want to offer us another image. One of our professors, Dr. John Hanna, shared something in class that I will always, always remember. He was describing a conversation one time that he had with S. Lewis Johnson, who is a renowned biblical scholar. And Dr. Johnson and Dr. Hanna were standing at the copy machine. Dr. Johnson was preparing to depart DTS. He went on to teach at 3 additional seminaries after he left DTS. So Dr. Hanna was gleaning wisdom from this man who had walked before him. This was around 1977 when Dr. Hanna was, maybe 17 or 18 years old. And Dr. Hanna asked him, when you look back on your ministry, at all of your time in DTS, what would you do differently? And Dr. Johnson replied briefly and simply, I would read the Bible more. I would read the Bible more. And so that is another image and opportunity and challenge for us today. There are 23 weekdays in the month of July. There are 22 stanzas in Psalm 119. If you read just one stanza per weekday, you take one day off for a federal holiday and read it out loud, you will be able to go through the entire psalm and start to have this affect your daily life in the same way it affected my grandmother's life. It's just consistent exposure to the Word of God. So I want us to do something special today together. Instead of doing a deep exegetical dive on every single term or verse, what I want us to do is to read the Word of God together as a community, wherever you are, If you're alone, or if you're with friends or family, if you're at work, or if you're driving, you probably don't want to do it because you can't read it, but you can listen along. But let's share this together today as a community. Part of the value of this is being able to hear it in your own voice and let the Spirit resonate that down into your heart. So let's read this together. Teach me, Lord, the way of your decrees, that I may follow it to the end. Give me understanding so that I may keep your law and obey it with all my heart. Direct me in the path of your commands, for there I find delight. Turn my heart towards your statutes and not towards selfish gain. Turn my eyes away from worthless things. Preserve my life according to your word. Fulfill your promise to your servant so that you may be feared. Take away the disgrace I dread, for your laws are good. How I long for your precepts. In your righteousness, preserve my life. So we've looked at the descriptions of God's word, and we've seen some images for how this can really transform and challenge us on a daily basis. So let's briefly consider the dynamics of God's word, how this really will affect us and change our experience. You saw it in those verses, and if you walk through stanza by stanza, you will see time and time, again and again, sheer delight and joy at knowing God's word as a means of knowing God and obeying God's word as a means of having a peaceful, joyful life. And so I want to show you another image. Here is a picture of sheer delight. This is my dog, Ransom Ruth, when she discovered, the first time, her new backyard. It is so fun to see her run around with pure delight at the green grass, being safe in those boundaries that have been set up by our property lines. And that kind of delight and joy is being offered to us this very day in the safety and the boundary lines of God's word. The psalmist experiences the dynamic of delight and joy. It is life and liberty and an expression of our relationship with God. He also experiences at blessing as righteous and good. He experiences the word of God as a counselor. It brings hope and joy. It's reliable and enduring. It's unplumbable. He can't find the edges or the depth, no matter how long and how deeply you search. There's more to know. It's sweet as honey, provides wisdom and light, and it is marvelous. Here is our last image for today. Louis Harvard. Staff Sergeant Harvard's Bible. This is a real picture of his real Bible. Staff Sergeant Harvard was there on the 6th of June, 1944, on D-Day. And when he charged enemy lines, a bullet struck his rifle, ricocheted, and then struck the Bible that was in his breast pocket. The Bible saved his life. And so here is my question for us today. Is the Bible, how is it operating in our life? Is it in our breast pocket, shielding and saturating our heart? Or is it just in our backpack, stuffing our brains? You can have a very different day today and every day by following some of these images of delight and faithfulness and knowing what's important. And so I want to close on a personal note. As I prepare to depart Dallas Theological Seminary, I want to say thank you so much for giving me a love for God's word and for all of the friends and family that I have at Dallas Theological Seminary. If you remember one thing, remember this. Read your Bible more. And so I want to tell my grandma, thank you. You had it right all along. Let's pray. Father, I thank you for this chance to be together through many different mechanisms and platforms. We're grateful for your word. We delight in it. We invite it into our experience that it might guide and correct, encourage and challenge. Be with us this day that we might live in such a way that others come to know Christ through us because we are walking in the Spirit. And we ask this in Christ's name alone. Amen.